We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, the home of the Red Sox, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app. One can't help but be positive. Can't help but be positive. The other can't help but be negative.
Bleep you, you bleeping bleepity bleep.
The only thing they seem to agree on is that they can barely agree on anything.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm Andy Hart. I'm not happy about this.
It's sports radio for the passionate fan.
What's up, Nick?
And grumpy dad in all of us.
That is just so stupid.
Fitzy and Hart.
Yes, I've been listening, Andy.
On Boston Sports Original.
I like the way Andy Hart does it.
Can I have Nick just take over?
WEEI.
I'm going to tell you what, Boston is so excited for Game 6 tonight, and this show is going to be so awesome, we just got a double intro, bro. From Boston Sports Original, New England Sports Original, 93.7 FM, WEEI and WEEI.com. This is the Fitzy and Hart radio program on an absolutely gorgeous Saturday, May 27th, 2023. Memorial Day weekend is here. Happy travels, safe travels, good vacationing, and wonderful sunny times to one and all. The weather is perfect. We got us a big game tonight. So much to talk about over 3 hours, and Fitzy and Hart are here for you. And if you want to holler in at any point, give us a call, won't you, at 617-779-7937. That's the telephone number. Lock it in. Use it as often as you want. When you call in, say hello to our producer, Stanley Bruno, a.k.a. Stiz Grimy. English is his second language. Of course, Chelsea is his first. Hi, Stiz.
What's going on, boys?
Not much. You can always text us at 37937 and the socials at WEEI, at FitzyGFY, and at Jumbo Hart. On today's program, we'll be joined by friend of show, NFL insider extraordinaire, Mike Giardi, who will help us come to terms with what was Joe Judgment Day down in Foxborough. Hart, I'm in a mood. It's a good one. I am so fired up for tonight. I'm too excited to just fast forward to 8:30, but at the same time, you know what I mean? Like, where it's just sort of like, God, this day is beautiful. I'm absolutely loving life. But also, it kind of needs to be 8:30 because we're in the process potentially of something historic. However, as I like to say, thanks for coming to my Red Talk. It's a TED Talk, but for basketball fans, you can't worry about if the Celtics can win a Game 7 and be the first team ever to trail 3-0 in an NBA postseason series. You have to win Game 6, and it's going to be in Miami, and the Kaseya Center is going to be absolutely bonkers. And Lord knows what's going to happen tonight. I'm grateful that we're actually here and we have this game to talk about. I don't know if I could have done 3 hours on the Red Sox today with you on Memorial Day weekend, not to mention our show tomorrow, but this is going to be absolutely awesome. How are we feeling?
I am quite positive today. Now, some of that could be the fact that I threw about 140 pitches of batting practice this morning, and remarkably, my arm feels fine, so I'm strutting around like a mid-40s, still got it, dude. And then,
oh, you got those vibes going on today.
You got the
I'm sexy and I know it, late 40s dad, yeah, athletic vibe going on.
Yeah, no question. I thought for sure around 80, 90 pitches, I would just, like, the thing would be dangling in the breeze. You'd never see me throw again. So to make it through all those buckets of balls, I'm feeling good about myself, and I'm feeling good about the Boston Celtics. I think the Heat are, and I know Gabe Vincent is going to play. We can get that out of the way off the bat. He's coming back from that ankle issue, which I'll be interested to see how smooth, athletic, and comfortable he looks after missing a game to that ankle injury and how he shoots. But I think the Heat, and I know Bill Burt wrote about this a little bit, and I saw it on Twitter, I think the Heat look fatigued. I know. It's always dangerous with that team because of their makeup and their culture to claim they're fatigued, but I think they may be a little bit fatigued, whereas I think the Celtics have a little bit of a second wind here, so I'm overly optimistic. You know that most of the time. It's sort of, it's weird that show open goes.
You are the beacon. You're New England's beacon of positivity.
Damn right.
You are on the dark and stormy night when I need to look shoreward and I'm just searching, just begging, just hoping that there will be some sort of vista, a sign, a light. I can always tell. There's old Jumbo right there with all of his optimistic outlooks, positive vibes, and non-contrarian takes. Let me ask you about this whole idea that the Celtics have a second wind and they're supercharged now.
Yeah.
And they're buying in, they're vibing, they're believing, and Miami looks tired. Do you think is it the fact that Miami has a certain level of talent, if you will, and they willed themselves to that 3-0 lead with the Celtics kind of playing sloppy bat, the Celtics being the wrong side of their very bipolar nature more often than not. They're very good, and their talent, well, even on what's not their best night, can still get them to a victory. Do you think that the Heat kind of felt like they were going to be able to sweep this, and now things are not breaking their way? The Celtics are getting healthy. The Celtics are playing good defense. The Heat are struggling, even though Gabe Vincent is going to, you know, play tonight. Look, dude, that's somewhere between a grade 1 and 2. That's going to be a legit ankle sprain. No one's making excuses. He's still going to come out tonight and try to. If he buries a couple threes, that place will be rocking. The momentum will shift to their side. But why do you think Miami is tired, and why do you think the Celtics are surging?
Because I think they've played a lot of pressure-packed basketball over the last month plus to get into the postseason, the play-in, lose it, play-in, trailing in the next game, like to get in and then being that underdog role and having limited depth due to the Tyler Hero injury and the other lack of depth they have. I mean, a lot of people look at their team and say, yeah, if they had a couple more starters, their depth would be really good. The problem is their depth are the starters. It's almost like the Patriots where you're like, they have depth at receiver. They just don't have stars at receiver. So I think when you're in those roles and the ball has to go through Jimmy Butler all the time, he doesn't have Jaylen Brown as his number two, where they can alternate their time on the bench and there's still an all NBA player on the court to bring the ball up and control the ball and run the ball through. So I think the way they've had to play to get to this point, and give them credit, as much as people want to say, oh, yeah, they lost the first play-in game and they could have lost the second. Yeah, they also knocked off the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis and got them to fire their coach. So they've done some really good things. They go up 3-0, but I continue to point to second half in-game interview, game 4 with Eric Spoelstra, when he weirdly squeezed in, and our guys want to win this. And it was almost like, yeah, I know we look flat and we're starting to give them the chance to win game 4, and then who knows where that leads. It was almost like he knew we have our opportunity. Let's put a bullet in the Boston Celtics and move on. Let's get us some rest because they may be the better. Like, I'm reading way into this, but they're the better team. They're the more talented team.
I get you on this.
He was speaking it into existence, and I think the further this has gone, the reality of what is at place. And everybody mocked me when I said the Celtics would sweep the series, and then I joked that, well, they're going to sweep the series. They just waited to go down 3-0 before they swept the 4 games. But I think the Heat are feeling the intensity they've had to play with and the pressure that is starting to build on them and the fact that they're facing a deeper, more talented team. You mix that all together, this is a tough spot. And now, don't get me wrong, we've seen the Celtics fall on their face enough. If they go, you know, Tatum could go 0-for-8 in the first quarter and a half, and they could come out lackadaisical, and we're like, what's going on with this team again? But I also think it's well set up for their talent to rise. And we have to talk about, off the top, have you followed this Matt Reynolds story?
The Matt Reynolds story. Mm-hmm. I have to be honest, for everything that I keep my nose in and finger atop of in sports. I have no idea what you're speaking of, sir.
So he apparently is the Celtics version to some degree of Eric Spoelstra, an assistant coach, former film room junkie, advanced scout, this and that, who's kind of stuck around through Brad Stevens' staff and Ime and now Missoula. And apparently a guy who never says boo. Last week down 3-0 at the end of a film session, stood up and said, listen, guys, I got something to say. And everybody's like, wait, this guy never talks. What does he have to say? And he basically, in like 30 seconds to 45 seconds, controlled the room and just delivered a simple message of, you can't let a bad week ruin a great season. And for whatever reason, it sounds like it resonated with Derek White and Marcus Smart and some of the players that have played really well since. So Matt Reynolds, learn the name. He may be a future rising star coach, but for this series, at least the player's perspective, he's a guy who says very little, who said something and may have sparked this turnaround.
So I'm now just getting in tune with all of this. Andy, great work by you on that one, bringing this up. An excellent talking point. And look, you can run through some of the great speeches in Boston sports history. There's that leaked one from Tom Brady in Super Bowl 49 where he gave the pregame speech about, it's about respect, it's about honor. It's about
whose honor?
Yeah. I don't know whose honor.
Your honor.
Yeah.
Your family's honor.
That's right. Of course, then there's Bill Belichick's famous speech from Super Bowl 51 at halftime where he, after 20 minutes of not addressing his team, as Malcolm Mitchell once recounted to me, he walked into the room full of men with their heads hung low between their pads and their knees. Of course, they were down 21-3 at the time, and Belichick said, if you play better, you'll win. I mean, it's stuff like that, really, that just turns
it's gold.
Things around.
Gold, Jerry!
I still can't believe that speech. But listen, if it came from the mouth of someone who was actually in the room at that time, I buy it. So I just did a quick tertiary search, quick little Twitter search right here, and you type in Matt Reynolds, and here it comes. Yeah, quotes, don't ruin the season off a bad week. Matt Reynolds spoke to the Celtics. Apparently, this film assistant on the Celtics delivered a speech that lasted approximately 45 seconds and told them exactly what they could do and what they needed to do. He said, I have something to say. Jay King's article for The Athletic. If the Celtics do the unthinkable in this series, a speech from assistant Matt Reynolds, when they seemed broken, should be looked upon as one of the nudges that sent them on their way. Quote, guys, we had a bad week. Stay calm. It's got to shift. Wow. How about that?
Matty Reynolds getting it done.
How about that?
Legend.
Yeah, now I found from the Celtics and NBC Sports Boston, like, here he is, just a very mild-mannered younger gentleman, probably, you know, knows his basketball, probably played a lot, does his homework, and he's one of the secrets to their success, actually. Like, we've spoken so much, Andy, and not tried to, like, lay it out as excuses or blame, but we've discussed the brain drain that has taken place during the course of the entire season. We'll start with Ime and the September suspension that turned into his utter dismissal, leading Missoula to go to interim coach. By All-Star break, he becomes head coach. But prior to that, Danny Ainge poached Will Hardy off the bench. He very well could have been the next head coach. He's now the coach in Utah, promising young head coach out that way. They lose Damon Stoudemire over the season. I thought Stoudemire would have been a great choice because veteran NBA player, commanding presence, stern voice. The two games Missoula missed this year, they played very well and responded to him. And so it's basically Missoula without all the other lieutenants, if you will, that Ime would have had in place or that could have been at his disposal. So anytime someone can step up, whether it's, you know, Brad Stevens whispering sweet nothings in his ears or coming up with game plans, Wick apparently yelling at Missoula, Marcus Smart sitting in his chair, and now Matt Reynolds delivering speeches. Like, things have shifted. Things have gone sideways at this point now. It's all hands on deck. And my attitude is always like, guys, we just want the plane to land. So everybody grab an oar and do the best you can.
And then clap, right? When you have one of those bumpy landings, but you get down and everybody... you take a breath and everybody claps. Well done. We all got here. We're all going to live and fight another day. And I've come to just accept it. I wrote this for the website a little bit the other day. It sounds like Jason Tatum has. He almost laughed when the woman post-game said, how come you guys seem to be better with your backs against the wall? And he's like, that's a great question. I wish I didn't know the answer. But over the last 2 years, that's who we are. That's what we do. And you look right and you look left and you trust the guy with the game on the line. And why you can't trust him when the season's not on the line and why it goes sideways in those situations, well, that's a different topic for a different day, but I've always, you know, we talked about it a little bit on Breaking Boston. They are front runners when their backs are against the wall, which is a weird dynamic.
See, it is so uniquely them. They only play when something like, all right, you guys know this is best to 10, right? And I'm up 7-0. Yeah, like in a game of air hockey to 7 at the arcade, they don't start playing until they're down 4-0. It's
like
wild.
This, in your example, game to 10, down 7-0, I feel like in their brains, they're like, well, I can still let you score 2 more points and the game's not over. I still got 2 points to play with here. Like, that's their, instead of being like, holy crap, we're in a 7-point hole, they believe they have 2 points to still play with. So it's not a good way to play. It's not a great makeup, but guess what? It can still work. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to win.
And this is exactly how you can get burned. Are the Celtics too close to the edge? Do you believe they could win tonight's game? Are you riding the wave of the emotions? Is this the basketball equivalent of the 2004 improbable Red Sox comeback? I heard Ken and Curtis making the comps and drawing the parallels earlier. Funny thing was, the Red Sox had not won in almost an entire century. The Celtics are the most winning franchise in NBA history. The Miami Heat have been to the finals, and they won a few this century with LeBron James. He's not walking through that door along with D-Wade and Chris Bosh anytime soon. They do have a stone-cold killer in the presence of Jimmy Butler, who seems to be pretty confident as well. We'll hear from him in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937. Lots of Celtics to open the show. Mike Giardi joining us to talk Patriots at 220. And right now, the Emmy, basically the only person who's an EGOT, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony at WEEI. Stiz Grimy, he's got you trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
That's right. It's win or go home once again for your Boston Celtics. They will be in Miami tonight to take on the Heat for Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Tip-off set for 8:30. Andy Hart was just speaking about it earlier. And Jason Tatum spoke with the media about how his team is so comfortable in the chaos, playing with their backs up against the wall. He had this to say.
And our ability to come together, figure things out when it's not necessarily looking good for us. It's unlike any team I've been on this year and last year. You know, just the core group of guys of, you know, being able to respond. And I think that's just a test to our togetherness. You know, obviously how bad we want it. And we got room for the determined, tough guys that, you know, push come to shove. You know, you look to the left and the right and you believe that, you know, the guy next to you is going to do whatever it takes.
Malcolm Brogdon is listed as questionable for your Boston Celtics. And apparently now they're saying that Gabe Vincent will be playing for Miami. And don't forget, the Celtics are 4-0 in elimination games this postseason. The Red Sox snapped their 4-game losing streak last night. They beat the Diamondbacks 7-2 in Arizona. Chris Sale got his 5th win of the year, going 5 innings, allowing 4 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, and striking out 3. They'll run it back tonight, first pitch at 7:15. Garrett Whitlock will return to the mound for your Boston Red Sox after being on the injured list for over a month. And don't forget, we'll have all the action for you right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Whale will get you ready for the game starting at 6:15 with the Mass Mutual pregame show. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. And in NFL news, Jeff Howe of The Athletic is reporting that Patriots are expected to pursue wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins was released by the Arizona Cardinals yesterday afternoon. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Fitzy and Hart right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, we're right back to it. Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
6-point lead here at the half. What was the focus and what was really addressed there at halftime as you look to continue with this momentum?
They were pretty effective in transition and they were hurting us on the glass. So, you know, pretty consistently, you know, get back in transition, communicate, match up, and finish plays with box outs and physical rebounds.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is probably the first time one and many of you who didn't happen to catch the Celtics' March 31st, 2023, 122-114 victory at the TD Garden over the Utah Jazz have ever heard from Celtics special assistant Matt Reynolds. There he was, Andy. That was an actual soundbite. He was the coach who was sent to go speak with the sideline reporters on NBC Sports Boston during their broadcast. Good job on the deep dive by you. Good reporting by Adam Himmelsbach and Jay King from The Athletic as well. Finding out who this magic man with the speech that stirred the troops, rallied the ranks, and got the Celtics pointed back in the right direction. Seems just like a very mild-mannered, nice gentleman, but apparently he was the spark that lit the fire that hopefully will get things rolling. Oh, look at this. And apparently as well, we'll be sharing this with you momentarily. Kevin Millar has come out with yet another hype. We are pushing this 2004 Red Sox narrative on the 2023 Celtics in a big way. Bigly, as some political figures like to say. I like it. You know what? Why not? I mean, listen, it's Boston, Andy, and this is Fitzy and Hart on WEEI, 617-779-7937. For all of your Joe Mazzulla compliments or complaints, your Jason Tatum thoughts, your Jaylen Brown wishes, and so much more. I don't mind it because in Boston, you have a team that orchestrated the greatest comeback in baseball history, baseball postseason history, however you'd like to qualify it. You have the team that orchestrated the greatest comeback in NFL history. And while, yes, I understand in the 1990s, Buffalo overcame a 35-3 deficit against the then Houston Oilers and Warren Moon and Ernest Givens and everybody. And that was pretty improbable, but that was a wild card game. They weren't down 28-3 in the Super Bowl. So now, and the Bruins have had some hellified comebacks as well in series back in 2011 and in games in 2013 as well against Toronto. Now it's the Celtics' turn to contribute. Now it's the Celtics' turn to make their mark in the great city of champions, to earn their comeback as well. And look, if guys like Millar, if other members of the Idiots in the 2004 Red Sox, if Paul Pierce wants to show up, if D-Mac wants to sit courtside and clap his hands bloody, by all means, go ahead and do it. I like every little bit of positivity I can possibly muster up for moments like this, Andy.
Plus, if you're Kevin Millar and Dan Roach putting these clips out, I mean, it's worked a little bit, so ride that train. Everybody should be wearing the same underwear, the same socks, drinking the same drink. If you're a superstitious sports fan and believe in those types of things, you should keep this train chugging on the tracks, because it does feel like it's going in a positive direction. I don't know about you. Like, do you have any doubt? Like, where are you in the Fitzy faith meter that the Boston Celtics will win game six? Are we at 70%, 80%? Where are we?
65 to 70.
Oh, I don't like that. I'm at 88%.
You're up to a full. Are, really?
I'm not at ESPN's.
You cranked the DeLorean 97. Up to 88. Oh, we're going back in time then. Let's go to 2004.
I am all in that game seven will be happening.
You're all in.
Yeah, I'm virtually all in. I mean, I know things can happen. I don't want to see.
I don't want to be overcome. Andy, have you learned nothing about this team? When they're a favorite, when they are, when their backs are
against the wall, the season ends.
They're Goliath.
So they're down.
But they're a 3-point betting favorite tonight.
Yeah, but
everyone thinks they're going to win. I need people to think they're going to lose. That way,
history says they can never win this. That's what the reality is. 150 times it's happened. 150 times the team down 3-0 has failed. History tells them their back is still against the wall. They're on the road. They've played well on the road, but they also should be reminded, whatever, I'm sure the Heat will have whiteout or blackout or whatever they're doing for today's game, they'll be reminded that it's them against 18,000 people beyond Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra. So I don't think they can rest on their laurels. I'm concerned of that storyline in Game 7, sort of, oh, we've already accomplished something by getting to Game 7, because it's only happened three times that the teams got there and then ended up losing.
I think it's only been 17 of the 150 and 0 for teams that were leading 3-0 in an NBA postseason series. I think only 17 times has it made it to Game 6, and of course, like you just mentioned moments ago, three times has it made it to Game 7. I wouldn't mind seeing it go to 4.
They're still long shots. I think they look at it that way. So I'm not, I think, and they should be confident, just not overconfident. I'm all in on confidence. Like, you know, when Mike Tyson used to come to the ring in the late 80s and early 90s, he was confident that he was going to kill the other dude in 40-something seconds.
Mm-hmm. As Kid Dynamite often would. And listen, if I had the swinging power of Mike Tyson, I too would be confident that anytime I enter the ring, I mean, even that's the whole idea of belief, the idea that anyone can win on any given night. I need not remind people that root for a particular Foxborough football team and others that they have found their way towards victory in games, matches, playoff games, etc., where no one thought they had a chance, and also some other games where they thought they were going to win and the other team believed and played just a little bit harder as well. We had a little bit of a connectivity issue with Mr. Hart right there. You know what it was probably, Stanley? I'm guessing right now that Andy's home studio probably had like a little bit of a there was a little hot wire there. Like things got mixed up because he was being too positive. I think all the positive energy that Andy is putting out today, when basically his home studio apparatus is used to all the negativity that flows through him, like a Sith Lord of Boston sports, that all this positivity probably fried the equipment. So we'll see if we can reconnect him in just moments. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Stanley, by any chance, did you happen to get a chance to roll in the audio of Kevin Millar and his rally speech from Red Sox Nation?
No, we're working on it right now.
All right, excellent. So we have no co-host, we have no audio. It's just me filibustering with nobody on the line to talk to. Kind of a dream scenario, but that's all right. All right, so one of the things I wanted to get to was, what's going on with the Celtics turnaround overall? And I'm curious what you, the diehard Celtics fan, whoever is starting with your Saturday Memorial Day weekend cookout, I'm sure you got the dogs fired up, burger patties getting rolled out. You are in New England, of course, so you probably have your chicken wings marinating in a nice Ken's Italian dressing marinade, little sauce there. Of course, your tips. Got the steak tips going. Classic, I mean, Memorial Day weekend food, I could have it breakfast, lunch, and dinner all weekend long. But you, the diehard Celtics fan, you who bleeds green, what do you think has been the key to the turnaround? Has it been Jason Tatum riding the ship? Actually, he's played pretty well throughout the entire series. It was only Game 3 where he had 14 points and was sat down for the fourth quarter and made to watch a moment that in a lot of ways could be a little bit of an emotional turning point for the Celtics, because they didn't want to go through that anymore, and they were embarrassed on national TV and by the Miami Heat at the Kaseya Center. Jaylen Brown finally finding his footing, not turning the ball over, rediscovering his stroke from deep after he opened up shooting but 12% from three over the first four games of the series. Okay, could be Derek White. Derek White has been nothing short of magnificent. Not excellent, not even great. Magnificent in this series. Playing defense. Big blocks on Jimmy Butler. The assists, the rebounds, expert ball handling. He has made at least three three-pointers in every game this series as well. He has been dynamite, especially filling in knowing that Malcolm Brogdon has that slight tear in a tendon in his right forearm that is causing him difficulty and pain in his shots. He's questionable tonight. Even if he plays, what kind of contribution can he make? We'll see. Al Horford has woken up and re-entered the chat. It's been great to see Al playing defense and also rediscovering his old man flat-footed three. That's been huge for the Celtics. Time Lord, quality defense as always. Grant Williams. You've been granted. Grant Williams becoming a positive contributor after he was the dog, the enemy of Celtics Nation. The poster boy for the failure in game two, getting in Jimmy Butler's grill and then having Jimmy Butler wake up, tell him I'm not the one you should be talking to, getting all fired up, 5 of 6 against Grant Williams on defense, goes on a 4 or 5 run, turns things around for Miami. Shocking game two defeat for the Celtics. It could be any of these things. I like to think of it as a group contribution because the Celtics are playing like a team. But mainly, my big thing as to why the Celtics have been able to turn this around, they are playing defense again. The Boston Celtics defensive ratings are skyrocketing right now. And I understand that, yes, Gabe Vincent, who was absolutely white hot, just completely, just absolutely shooting the lights out. Spectacular. Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, all those guys were shooting the lights out. Now, they've struggled shooting. And yes, of course, you know, we know the golden numbers. We know the golden rules with the Celtics. 40% or more from three, less than 16 turnovers. They're 38-2 on the season, including the postseason. So there are your magic numbers. Everyone knows that. But the Celtics are playing defense again. The Celtics are contesting shots. The Celtics are not buying fakes. The Celtics are rotating on defense. They're hearkening back to what helped them turn around last season. They're too talented to just try and live and die by the three, think that they're offensive prowess will intimidate another team. No, Miami took the fight to them. Celtics have had to endure a couple of standing eight counts in the first part of the series. The Celtics almost got knocked out, Stiz. The Celtics almost got cooked. The Celtics have had a couple of standing eights in the series, and the judges' scorecard had Miami all the way. But then the Celtics decided to counterpunch. Then the Celtics actually protected themselves. The Celtics got out of the corner. They're contesting shots. They're rotating. They're moving around. They're not turning the ball over as much. And everything that they're doing now that reminds you of the way that they played last year when they were in the gutter, in the dumps, and couldn't figure things out in January 2002 that led them to go on that absolute heater, a torrid stretch that led them all the way to Game 6 of the NBA Finals last year under first year, ultimately one-and-done coach Ime Udoka. They're doing it again. I don't know if it was at Matt Reynolds' behest, if it was unofficial assistant coach Marcus Smart who told him to do it, if it was old man Horford, if Joe Mazzulla watched The Town for a fifth time, saw something that reminded him defense is key. I don't know. Guy watches it, that absolute psychopath. He watches it 10 times a week. Whatever it was that convinced the Celtics that they needed to start playing defense again, to me, has been key to halting the Heat just enough to allow the Celtics to get back on their game as well. Now, what Eric Spoelstra, who Andy mentioned earlier, who said in Game 4, our guys really want to win this tonight, I don't think the Miami Heat will ever be a scare to the Celtics, and I don't think that they will cower or back into a corner. But whatever it was that led them to get knocked on their rears in the second half of Game 4 when the Celtics won the third period, 38-23, if I'm correct, and then in Game 5 at home, a rousing win, 116-99, really wasn't that close. They were up 20-5 in the first quarter. My old man used to say, an old racing term for horses and dogs, since most of our family fortune is in the pockets of whoever used to run the Raynham-Taunton Greyhound track. My old man used to always say, Nico, there's nothing like watching a dog go box to wire. Well, the Celtics absolutely went box to wire in that game. So it feels like an even series, but they still have to win Game 6 tonight. They have all the momentum in the world. The energy is turning the right way. If you got guys like Andy Hart speaking so positively, he knocked out his own internet at his home studio and left me to do the show by myself. Well, then, damn it, Andy, I'm glad that today is the day you got so positive and your energy was so brilliant, so bright, so white in the light in the face of the Celtics turnaround that we'll take it for the team. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Before we get to the calls, Stanley, let's see if we can. Let's continue with this momentum, the positivity. I like where we're going. Let's hear from Kevin Millar, as recorded and shared by Mr. Positive on the Boston sports scene himself, the great Dan Roach from WBZ TV Sports. Here's Kevin Millar with another rally call to Celtics Nation in advance of Game 6.
What's up, boys? Kevin Millar here. We won Game 4. We went back to the Garden in Game 5. Don't let us win Game 6. Cowboy up and get this thing back to the Garden. Let's go!
That's all it needs to be.
That just got me fired up.
Damn it. Now, see, it's a beautiful day. As Danny from Quincy yelled at me last year when he called in one day, he's like, geez, Nick, please let us just enjoy the 3 to 4 months we get of sunshine around here. It's so fleeting. Don't ever wish it away and want it to be football season. I always want it to be football season, but I enjoy each and every moment of the sun in New England. It is a glorious Memorial Day weekend. We have earned this. We deserve this. Ah, 7 hours till tip-off. God, I can't wait. I need a hot dog and a beer. I got a couple more hours of a radio show to do.
All right, Stanley. You already have a beer. Don't lie.
No, it's not allowed. FCC regulations. Yeah. It's theater of the mind. Everyone always imagines, if I'm awake, if I'm out of bed, there's a beer and a hot dog in my hand, or at least in the minds of most people that know what a ferocious Boston sports fanimal I am. What do you say we take it to the people and talk to the folks calling in, Stiz? Let's begin today's proceedings with Zach in Boston. He wants to talk about the Celtics defense. What up, Zach?
Hey, Big Champ. Listen, you is such positivity. I love it, man. It's just like Licky grabbing his nub all over my head, you know? So I couldn't agree with you more, though. I think when the Celtics are playing lockdown D, everything opens up like a bombado, you know? So it opens up, it gets creasy, and I'm just like, the shots are dropping, my panties are dropping, everything's dropping when they're hitting their three. So I'm giddy like a son of a gun schoolboy, and I don't know. Ah!
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate the call. That's where we are right now. I like the giddiness. I like the energy. Good. That's how we should be. Look, again, nothing has been accomplished. If the Celtics come out and put on something resembling a game one to game three performance, or game one to game four through the first half, the Celtics still kind of held their own. The Celtics showed that they had a little pushback and they had some fight in them for game four, even though they really kind of took things over in the third period, like I mentioned before, with the 38-23 advantage in game four down in Miami. If they come out with that kind of effort tonight, if the shots aren't dropping, as Zach mentioned, the shots start dropping, other things start dropping for the likes of Zach and beyond. If the shots aren't dropping, if they're not making their threes, sometimes it is just that simple, Stiz. Sometimes it's as simple as, hey, tonight our shots fell through, yours didn't, so that's how it goes. Then great. Let's say all things will be equal, which we know they never aren't. Let's say all things are equal tonight, and Miami comes out, makes their first couple threes. Let's say the Celtics take it to the rack. Jaylen finds a way to hold on to the ball. Jason Tatum uses that amazing length and fluidity of his when he drives the lane. Celtics are banging out some elbow jumpers. Derek White drops one of his early signature threes. Maybe Marcus Smart, who was absolutely burning up the corner office in Game 5 at the Garden. Each team comes out throwing haymakers, jabbing, draining threes. It's probably going to be a tight game for a while. Who's got the edge? Who's got that extra something to help that team stay focused, keep their cool, and not in the face of immense pressure? Because the pressure is going to mount equally on both of them. Charles Barkley was saying that game six for Miami is going to feel like their game seven because they do not want to go back to Boston, even though they've won two already there this series. They're not going to want to go back to Boston and give all of the TD Garden fanimals a chance to become a sixth man for the Celtics. They're not going to want to have to make that trip with their backs against the wall of history, potentially living in infamy. They want this game tonight so badly, I'm sure they can taste it. But at the same time, man, the Celtics have to know they're on the doorstep of potentially rewriting history. and fulfilling their potential and promise. Oh, God, is this huge. This is going to be the highest rated Game 6 of any series since 2004 that I could possibly imagine. Ratings have been fantastic for both TNT and the ESPN ABC family as well. If that could please just drive my Disney stock back up, which has been in the toilet the last couple of months, that would be fantastic. Thanks a lot, Disney Plus. All right, one more call before we get to the commercials. Bobby is in Cambridge. He wants to talk some Celtics. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hi, Nick. Haven't talked to you in a while for Saturday afternoons. I hope you guys enjoy this lovely weekend, man. A couple things. When Jaylen Brown was being interviewed before the series started, asked him what one of his jobs was. He said it was, you know what, it's for me to get this team up for this series. And mm-hmm. I'm an old-timer, and I'm thinking to myself, get these guys up for the series. They're playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. And he was serious about that. And the more I thought about it, you know, because of the way in all the series is, you don't have to say this, but have taken games off. I mean, there's too much talent on that team not to beat Miami, and there was too much talent, which they did beat Philly. When you're playing defense, like they have the last two games, just from, again, old school mm-hmm. and stuff, you're playing an entire game. You're in the game back and forth. There's no coincidence that the better defense that played, the better their offense was. You're playing all-around basketball. Another big point that was made, and I didn't even realize it, watching the games because of mm-hmm. hitting the boards and not giving second shots. Miami did not score on a second shot till late in the third period in the last game. That is a statistic that shows you right there. And I'm not big on stats all the way around, but that was telling you that's the type of game they have to keep playing to win. I mean, certainly they got themselves still a little bit behind the eight ball. I'm hoping it's a tight game. I'm because of the way they play it, I hope Miami doesn't get ahead by a lot. But a tight mm-hmm. game, I give the Celtics the edge. But I'm with you guys, Nick, all the way what you were saying, because I've always been defense. But when you're playing defense, you're playing an all-around basketball game. And there's no coincidence on how they've played rebounding-wise and also offensively because they've been playing team defense. And enjoy this. It's going to be a lot of fun. And you guys are great. Enjoy listening to you. And again, have a wonderful weekend, my friend.
Yeah, you too, Bobby. Thank you so much. And see, it has been really fun to watch the last – let's be honest. The first three – games of this series were like sitting in the lobby of a vet with a bunch of sick pets. Like, it was really sad. It was nothing fulfilling, nothing joyful about it. Miami storming back, the Celtics fumbling away opportunities. It just seemed like everything that they had done at the end of the Philadelphia series. And again, I think the way it's been often described is that the Celtics are a team that likes to play with their food. Well, eventually someone's going to come take the food away, or you're going to spill the plate. And everyone else is going to get up and leave and have fun, and you're going to be still sitting there told to finish your potatoes and your vegetables. The Celtics haven't been screwing around. The Celtics haven't been playing with their food. The focus, the turn of events has been wild in the middle of the series, and as Bobby was saying, it is great to see them playing team defense, which means they're playing whole basketball. And let's say Miami just plays one shot better tonight. That doesn't mean that the Celtics blew their chance in this particular moment. It means that they screwed around too much, too early, too often, and then put themselves in this position. That's what we always have been saying. We said it about the Bruins earlier, Stiz, that they played with fire too much and they didn't put away the Panthers when they had a chance. And look at how that's working out for those Kachuckers down there, huh? And now, can the Celtics actually continue with the positive momentum and the turnaround they've begun? Or is it Miami's time, as Jimmy Butler said? He says they're going to win. He's not worried, and he even saying everything's going to be all right. We'll find out in just a few short hours. Hopefully, Andy will join us in a few minutes. We'll see if we can get Mike Giardi on the line earlier for a Pat's Pivot around 2 o'clock. 617-779-7937. It's Fitzy and Hart with a few technical difficulties, but we got a positive outlook, and we got a Game 6 tonight. Holler at us. It's WEEI.
WEEI. We are right back to Fitzy and Hart.
Streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
A gentle reminder, folks, that even though a lot of times you like to register your utilities with AutoPay, it's a good idea to make sure that there's money in the checking account and the payment has been processed and gone through, because Andy Hart has lost his internet entirely. So thus, his home studio is as useful as a one-armed man in a rowboat right now. However, like I often say, Stanley, not all heroes wear capes. but they do know football and basketball and are willing to jump on the line with your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens in a pinch on a moment's notice. And joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, a good 30 minutes early of his appearance today on the Fitzy and Hart Show, it's the one, the only NFL insider and now NBA hoops insider extraordinaire, the great, mighty, and powerful Mike Giardi. What up, Mike?
Hey, look, if this had been Andy and you had lost your internet, I would have told Andy to piss off and that I would be on at my normal time 30 minutes from now. But because it's you, Fitzy, I said, you know, it's a good guy, humanitarian, you know, lover of beer. I'll talk to him. I'll do it early. Let's go.
Friend, neighbor, brother to all, Celtics positivity extraordinaire. You know, it's actually fun, Mike, because I've been, you know, as someone who's been following you online on social and broadcast for a decade now, I see all of your activity during the Celtics game. And even though everybody knows you for your insider work with the Patriots and the NFL, the stuff that you do with the AFC East and beyond, like, you're a pretty passionate Celtics fan as well. So now let me get a chance to ask you what you think has been key. I think it's been the team effort on defense and actually returning to the roots of what made them a real team and helped everything coalesce last year. Not just that the shots are dropping, not that Miami went cold, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's the team defense that's really helped the Celtics pull things back together and start riding the ship now down 3-2. What do you think has been key for them so far in turning this series around?
Well, you know, everybody wants to talk about offense and hitting threes, and that's the sexy component. How many points, how many rebounds, how many assists, but it's all about what they did defensively in the last two games. They made it much more difficult for not only for the Heat to run their half-court offense, but, like, they've been picking up the guards in the backcourt and pressuring them up the court, making it harder just for them to get it over half court. And you say, well, come on, Mike, they're not really. Okay, but fine. If you chew up 6 seconds of the 8 seconds to get it up backcourt, you're just getting them to start a little bit slower. And I just think it gives them sort of that bulldog mentality when they start to see the Heat struggle with it a little bit. And I mean, clear in game five. I mean, how many turnovers did they force early in that game? Able to get out in transition, able to get easy baskets. Guys get, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Jaylen Brown's been scuffling, but he gets a couple good clean looks, knocks him down. His whole energy changes. So it's paying off. The defensive work is paying off on the offensive end of it. And hopefully, and we've said this about this team a million times, but hopefully they learned their lesson, because I think tonight they're going to have to bring that and then a little something else, because I think Miami knows the state that they're in. I think they feel like they got to have this one. They don't want to come back to Boston for a game seven.
No, because not only is it going to be, just if you look at it as a singular individual game, Miami versus Boston, even though the Heat have won two at the Garden, Celtics winning one, the last one, game five, in convincing fashion, the history, I feel like the history, energy, the momentum of infamy versus legend that the Celtics or the Heat could be knocking on the doorstep of, that pressure could be too great, even for a team like Miami with their stone cold killer, Jimmy Butler, even with somebody that's as experienced as Eric Spoelstra and, you know, with a monarch like Pat Riley pulling the strings above them as well. And Mike, it really, like, it's a great point by you about the defense picking them up in the half court and making it difficult for the Heat to try to even get in their offense, because the Celtics have taken, this is amazing, they've taken 30 more 3-point shots than the Miami Heat, who we believe to be one of the better and more prolific three-point shooting teams in the Eastern Conference, let alone the NBA, over the last two games. And the Celtics have cut their turnovers down by 50% over the last couple of games. Like, it really is just that simple as well. And my unsung hero, and I'll be curious to hear who your unsung hero is and who you think is going to have to be the player of the game for the Seas tonight. Mine has been Derek White. I mean, I just think this guy, no matter all the good things you say about him, you can't say enough, because he does a little bit of everything, and that's the mentality this team has when they're playing right and they're an absolute force on the court.
Well, you think about the way things went the other night, and Brogdon obviously dealing with that tendon issue in his elbow, and they pulled the plug on him in the second half. So you look at this game and say, does he even get a chance? Are they going to run him out there again? Or is this a situation where he looks to Pritchard or Hauser, or he just says, you know what, seven guys tonight. We're going seven. And to me, that's what I'm trying to do. If I'm him, I'm going seven. And that means I have Derek White and or Marcus Smart on the floor at all times. I totally feel what you're saying about White. I think he's been their third best player all year long. And I know there was a little lull here in the postseason, but now he's got that that Derek White confidence back. He can get into the lane. He has that little floater that he buries, but obviously the three-point shooting was massive. And when he gets those open looks, he really doesn't miss. But for me tonight, it's about seeing the same Jason Tatum that we saw last game. And I guess that's not an unsung hero, but he controlled the flow of that game. It was the aggression early on, right? Scoring points, but then it was the passing. Like, I think when we look at him and you see the evolution of this player, that's been the part that's come maybe the latest is that as a passer. But boy, is he's really good at it when he's sort of controlling the ball, when he's taking care of it. The cut into the lane when he caught the ball was a bad pass from Brown, and then he one hand redirected it to Al Horford in the corner was about as heady and pretty a play as you're going to see. So we love the three pointers and the dunks and swinging on the rim and all the different things. But that was just like, to me, that's Tatum in control. Like, he was feeling it and he wasn't afraid to give other people touches. And it wasn't this isolation one-on-one ball. And when they're like that, and when he's like that, they're just a really hard team to stop. They're what we thought they were, which should have been the best team in the Eastern Conference and the team that should be going to the NBA Finals. They still got two games to do this. And as we said, it was up and down roller coaster with his group. But boy, that I just love the command that he had of the entire game.
Yeah, he does that one where he cuts across the paint, and he can do that, like, because he's so long and now he's so strong and he's filled out his body, Mike. He does that like extended finger roll layup, which is near impossible to defend. But the other night there was one where he cut into the lane. The entire Miami defense began to close on him because they were fearful he was going to just take it to the glass again. He turned around and threw it to Marcus Smart, and Marcus Smart had time to tie his shoes, make a sandwich, check his Twitter, and then hoist a corner three, which he absolutely buried. Of course, it's key when Marcus Smart is burying early threes, the Celtics are feeling themselves as well. But yeah, Tatum's overall game, Mike, he played 41 minutes, 8 rebounds, 11 assists, 21 points. I'd take that every day of the week, twice on this particular Saturday. I think that would put the Celtics in a tremendous position tonight, like you said, against what's going to be a charged arena.
Yeah, you know, the other thing that I liked about him too, and again, so they had all kinds of problems with Jimmy Butler, and we're saying, why aren't they doubling him, take the ball out of his hands, do these different things? Well, now they've thrown length at him, and Tatum's length in particular has been a problem for Butler. And look, we know Butler's tough, and I'm sure he hasn't played his best the last two games, so I would expect a lot better from Jimmy. It's difficult for him to create and get some of those easy shots, because he always seems to be the guy that, like, everybody's moving around, and then Jimmy slides to the right a little bit, and all of a sudden he's got this little window opening, and boom, he knocks it down. He wasn't getting those same sorts of looks, and I think Tatum is a big part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as my guy Derek White goes, from one of the great stats magicians in the area, our old friend Brian Barrett, Derek White, 5th in made threes this postseason, trailing only Steph, Tatum, Clay, and Jamal Murray. That's pretty good company, and we're going to need the best out of him tonight, just like we will everyone. Be curious to see if they do go with a 7 or an 8-man rotation. I don't know. Grant Williams may have earned himself a couple minutes tonight, Mike. We'll see. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. When we come back, we'll actually have a chance to pick at the brain of our resident NFL insider, our pal Mike Giardi, and exactly what in the holy hell went on with Joe Judge, the OTA violation, and how aggravated Robert Kraft and everyone inside the organization has to be that there's another scandal before the mini camp even breaks out. As far as I'm concerned, Mike, hey, listen, to me it says the Patriots are trying again because they're pushing the envelope. So we're staying as positive as we can. Mike Giardi joins us, fills in for Andy Hart when we come back. This is Fitzy and Hart, hour number two coming at you. Don't go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. visit pitchhitrun.com today.